I just pray that we will wait on you now and open up our eyes and our ears to listen to you this morning. I just pray that for Amy to deliver the way you want her to this morning. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be with you this morning. We send out greetings as well. So Connect Church meets today at 10, and they've been praying for you. It's really great that, like Lindsay said, we can be part of something bigger. That's what I love about our network. I love the opportunity for us to come together in relationship. It's amazing to think that all the way up in Scotland and then even further afield, even you're thought of and you're loved and you're prayed for today. It was probably around about this time last year that we had Kevin and Lindsay with us, with Jessica as well. And I always love that about our network, that there's an opportunity for us to just kind of cross-pollinate and see each other. And we put Kevin and Lindsay on the hotspot and we interviewed them as part of our church service and said, talk to us about some things, speak some faith into us, tell us about how you do life and leadership. And it was a really wonderful time, so it's great that I can kind of come and extend that opportunity to be with you today. As you can probably hear, there is nothing Scottish about me whatsoever. They have tried and they have not succeeded. So I'm from Derbyshire originally, but I moved up to Scotland 5 years ago to pastor the church there, as you've heard, Cord Connect. And we're on a fun journey at the moment because we are without a building. But God is really blessing our endeavours, and we're really seeing an opportunity to really have faith, to be faith-filled with wherever he sends us. We had our Easter Sunday in a pub, so that was really good fun. There was all sorts of a myriad of people that came and engaged with the Easter story. Sometimes we meet all together and we borrow a Baptist church. They're really good for us. And again, just echo what Lindsay says about being together. You know, we've got great ecumenical relationships with people across Paisley, and just being able to join together as one church and actually celebrate and say, even though we've got different styles and even though we do things in different ways, isn't it great that we can support each other? So we meet in a Baptist church every other week, and then alternative weeks we split and we do things called house churches across different locations. And we do the Burn as well, and the Burn is an amazing opportunity to come together and just nip in, nip out. You know, it's perhaps difficult to worship for all that time, we'll run out of breath and energy, but it's really good to put ourselves under sometimes different ways of worshiping. So, moving on anyway, because I'm on the clock, so here we go. I really felt that as I was praying for us here today, that sometimes as you come away from Easter and you've experienced the high of really celebrating that Jesus is risen and that wonderful opportunity of seeing Martin baptized, is it Martin? Martin baptized, and just really rejoicing with you, Martin. You know, sometimes as we come back down from those events and from those festivals where we celebrate and think of Jesus, we wonder, well, how do we live now? And how do we stay as God's resurrected people? And that's really what I want to offer today, an opportunity for us to delve deeper of how do we stay as God's resurrected people? How do we stay alive? How do we stay consistent in our faith? So I wonder if you'd want to turn with me to Luke 7, because I'm actually going to track you back. Jesus is still around at this point. But actually, we know that everything that Jesus did was intentional, wasn't it? Everything that he taught, every miracle that he did, every time he spent time with people, it was to get us to catch something. It was to get us to think something. So if you turn with me to Luke 7, verse 11, we're going to actually read the encounter where Jesus raises the widow's son in Nain. And we're going to read from Luke 7, 11 to 16, and it says this. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, because she was a widow. And a large crowd gathered from the town with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up, and he touched the man that was carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were filled with awe, and they praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. So we know from the Gospels that this isn't actually the first time that Jesus had risen someone from the dead. And I think, again, like we said previously, that everything that Jesus did was with intention. And it was often to teach his disciples. You know, I often wondered if Jesus just sometimes face-palmed every now and again and thought, why aren't my disciples getting it? Like, how much more can I teach them? How much more can I help them experience? How much more can I help train them? So everything that Jesus did, particularly leading up to his death and resurrection, was to say, you know, what I do, I want you to do too. And what I do, I want you to imitate as well. And particularly when it came to the resurrection stories, he was preparing a way so that his followers would understand here, but also understand there. And after Jesus died and rose again, say then, with that same power, I've called you to go on and do the same things. And I've called you to live as my resurrected people. So it's that same power that I want to talk about today. And I want us to walk through, it doesn't matter if not, I want us to walk through a couple of C words, because I love a bit of alliteration. Everyone always jokes with me at Connect Church that we've got all these things. So that same power that Jesus has in order to raise from the dead is actually the same power that he gives us. And it's amazing to hear stories of faith and stories of healing. And it's amazing to hear all that God does in and through us. And he wants us to live as his resurrected people, knowing that we can resurrect things, knowing that we can resurrect people, knowing that we can resurrect and change circumstances. And so the first thing I want us to look at is this word collision. The power of collision. And if we look back on the story, we see that two crowds meet, don't we? We see that one crowd is carrying death, and one crowd is carrying mourning, and one crowd is carrying sorrow. And then we see on the opposite that Jesus and his crowd are coming into the town and coming into the city gates, and they're carrying life. And when you think about it, as Jesus is heading to the city, those guys are heading out to the cemetery. So we know that in those times that, you know, death and sometimes things like a cemetery and sometimes making sure that everyone was safe and infection didn't happen, that it was considered a dirty thing. So they were just doing what was instructed of them by law, and they were taking that dead body out towards the cemetery. But, you know, Jesus had picked this intentional route that day because, of course, he knew that he was going to collide with death. And, of course, he knew of sorrow. He knew that he was going to be and in pain and time. And right here, we're seeing the gospel being played out. We're seeing the amazing example of Jesus modeling to his disciples over again. I am here to stop death in its tracks. I'm here to look at that which is painful and to look at that which is death and to look at that which is hurtful and say, I've come to bring life. I think about those familiar words in John 10:10 where it says, the thief comes to kill, rob, and destroy, but I, Jesus, have come to give life and life in its abundance. And right here at the start of the story, there's a challenge for every single one of us to actually think about how do we come in the opposite spirit. And when we see things that happen in our society, when we see things that happen in our world, the way they happen in God's community, and it looks like there's no hope, and it looks like there's no life, and it looks like nothing good can come of it, often that's the place where Jesus wants us to intentionally be, staring right in front of that which is hard, staring right in front of that looks like there'll be nothing that can ever good can happen. And so Jesus is modelling all the way through to his disciples that, you know, where you see death, where you see sorrow, where you see destruction, I am coming in the opposite spirit, and I am bringing hope, and I am bringing life, and I am bringing vitality. And the power of that collision, all of a sudden, I can imagine, changed the atmosphere. If you maybe put yourself in that story right now, imagine what that would feel like. Imagine what that would look like. The giver of life, someone who was already stirring a story, someone who so many people were already talking about, many people were understanding that he was the chosen Messiah, many people were understanding that he was the Son of God. And at that moment when those two crowds collide, something special was about to happen. Do you know, it's the same for us though. Jesus has, it's been given to us. And when we took the opportunity to say yes to Jesus, when we took the opportunity to say yes, I want to be with you, Jesus, and I want to be for you, we also have that same mandate to actually walk and collide with that which is a struggle. But for collision to happen, there has to be compassion. There has to be a want, there has to be a desire, and that's my next point, the power of compassion. And we see here in the reading that we've just read in 13, verse 13, when the Lord saw her, it says this, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. His heart went out to her. And I think there's something deeply comforting in this story, to know that God sees us. To know that God saw this widow's pain. To know that God saw this woman's hurt and this woman's deep sorrow as she came to the realization that her son was lost. You know, Jesus himself empathized with the situation. Well, how did he empathize with the situation? Well, because he's God himself. God knew what it was like to surrender and sacrifice a son. God had already walked that preparation journey to give up Jesus on our behalf, so that all of us could receive salvation. And as a result of that understanding, Jesus had this moment of seeing the woman and seeing all the pain and all the hurt and all the sorrow that she must have been in at that moment. And out of his mouth came this, don't cry. And I wonder when it comes to us, you know, how do we see people? How do we deeply feel and have compassion and have care for those that are around us? And even though they might look completely different to us, again, coming back to a collision, even though they might have different values, even though they might have different ways of living out their Christian walk, even those that don't yet have a faith or those that seem so far off, God still calls us to be a compassionate people. And God asks us to have eyes to see through the channel of his love and through the channel of his grace. So the Lord sees him, and his Lord sees her and her pain, and he says, don't cry. I wonder what your reaction to that would be. You know, if we were at a funeral right now and someone came up to us and said, don't cry, I would guess that that would be quite an inappropriate thing to say, wouldn't it? But it's not that he was dismissing the opportunity for her to mourn. It's almost like he was more so trying to say, I've got this. Something different is about to happen. There's not going to be a time for mourning anymore. You know, Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says that Jesus was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And that word acquaint means to familiarise. It means to link. It means to connect with. These are intentional words where Jesus deliberately chose to position himself right in the thick of all sorrow, all grief, all struggle, and say, I'm going to familiarise myself with people's pain. I'm going to familiarise myself to help me understand that what me and the Father and Holy Spirit can do. And what does he ask of us as his chosen disciples? What does he ask of us as his children? Well, he asks the same. He asked that we would be people of compassion. He asked that we would be people that look out and see the needs of others and offer the comforting words of don't cry, or offer the comforting words of saying, I'm going to come and bring the love of Christ and the grace that Jesus offers. So compassion, it's not just a feeling. It's not just something where it's within us, but it has to be an action, doesn't it? It has to be something that where we can tangibly say, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to help those of others. But for compassion to happen, there needs to be contact, and that's the next point. So we've done three so far, the power of collision, and then we've done the power of compassion, and now we're talking about the power of contact. And we've already talked about the fact that Jesus literally in this story stopped death in his tracks. And I think that's a pretty amazing and exciting thing to think about. We've talked about the countercultural things that would have happened within this story. That actually death was considered so dirty and so diseased. And even touching death, even associating with death right back then, would be considered really unlawful and really shocking. But we know that Jesus liked to shock, don't we? We know that Jesus liked to stir up people's thinking. And hey, we're meant to do that too. What a challenge that is for us as well. And so as Jesus reaches out, and as he decides to intentionally actually do something about this story, he actually literally gets his hands dirty. And when you think about about it, the love of God compelled Jesus to have such a compassion and to have such courage to collide with all of that which looked like there would be no help, that he said, I don't care if I get dirty in the process. I don't care if I get mucky in this process. And we've come out of the high of Easter Sunday that because Jesus decided to get mucky, we can be clean. But actually, we've got the same mandate. We have the mandate to also go into areas of society, go into areas of our community, do the jobs that other people wouldn't want to do, spend time with the people that other people would not have grace for, associate ourselves and familiarise ourselves and link with those people that others may struggle with and literally get our hands dirty with the power of contact. Is that hard? Yes. Is it at risk? Well, of course it is. But is it one of the most treasured, beautiful environments that we can put ourselves in with God's people? I would say yes. So the story goes on to say that Jesus reached out and he touched, and the bearer stood still. Once again, imagine what that would have looked like. Everyone used to this funeral parade. You know, even back then, they used to pay people to mourn. It would have been almost like a show. There would have been so many people that were caught up in the mournfulness and caught up in this son dying. And as Jesus reached out, it would have been such a shock, and it would have been so unbelievable, such a sight to see, that it caused everyone to stand still, and it caused everyone to stop still. This is the gospel. This is the beautiful story of Jesus being unpacked for us. It's that actually the realisation that deaf people can't do anything. And once upon in my time, I was dead. And we were all dead as his people as well. And it takes the hand of God to reach to us and change us that causes his life. It takes his intentional contact, which touches our life, actually to be resurrection in him. And it's the same for us. You know, we, with that same power that Jesus promised that we would have, we're also called to make contact with this world. We're also called to physically, emotionally, financially, and all the other kind of other ways that you can think of to say, I'm going to make contact and I'm going to love like Jesus did. Jesus touches what is dead and he restores it to life. And we too are given that same mandate. We're called to go into those areas that look struggles. But for contact to happen, there then has to be a command, and that's the next C word. And it says here that after he's had that contact with the dead son, he then says these words, young man, I say to you, get up. These are powerful words. These are words that are very definitive. Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen, but he knows exactly what he has hope and exactly what he has faith for. And you know, we come from a network, we come from a group of churches that right within the core of us is this value to speak life and to actually be able to look at that which looks like it's bones and look at that which looks like it's never going to live, and with the power of our words actually command, and with the power of our faith actually say anything that's opposite, I'm going to declare that this is life. And Jesus models that to his disciples once again. He's showing them all along. Remember, this is like continuous school for the disciples. Everything Jesus did, it wasn't just for the benefit of those that would be healed. It wasn't just for the benefit of his own story being unfolded. But in terms of his followers, they were always being in training. They were always being in school so that some of the Acts 1 stuff and some of the early church stuff would really come to life. So he's showing them all the time, this is how you resurrect people through word. He's showing them all the time, this is how you resurrect people through contact. He's showing them all the time, this is how you resurrect people through heart, through compassion. He's showing them all the time, this is how you resurrect people by deliberately standing in the way of that which the enemy would want to advance and using as God's people. I'm pushing back, I'm pushing back, I'm doing more, I'm taking ground for Jesus. So the power of command is a real switch in the story. And you see here what happens. And as he says to the young boy, he says, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and he began to talk. Imagine. Imagine what that would have been like. And I always wonder, what on earth would he have said? I always think, why do we have to know that snippet of information? Like, he sat up, I mean, that would have been crazy anyway. And then he sat up straight and began to talk. Like, did he say, what just happened then? Did he say, I want a cup of tea? Like, what were the first words that came out of his mouth? But I think that what the Gospels are trying to ability to us is that not only did life come back, but speech came back. So Jesus commanded and spoke life, and then this boy began to immediately speak back again. The power of his life and the power of words came back as well. But I always think that it's just such a funny moment to actually understand that, you know, he got up and he spoke and he said something. But once again, with this power of command, you know, we see that this resurrection story is a corporate event. It didn't happen in private. It didn't happen just Jesus and that person. We've seen other resurrection stories where sometimes it's happened in the privacy of a room. But this one, something different. Think about how many people would have witnessed that. And think about, once again, the disciples and all that they would have learned as a result. And when it comes to what I'm hopefully trying to like tease out of all of us today, myself as well, you might be thinking, well, how can I do that, Amy? You might be thinking, how on earth, you know, is that possible for me to do? Well, you may simply think, we don't have to do it on our own. We can do it as team. We can do it as God's people, just like how Jesus did with his disciples. And as he saw that the sun was risen through this resurrection corporate event, we can do the same. And if we're wanting to go and make a difference with the loaves, that's an amazing idea. Like, we need to stand with you. And we need to be with you. I can't make sourdough bread for my life, but I can pray with you. And I can pray that that will make a difference. That which you want to see resurrected as a result of that ministry act, it can make such a difference. And so we can join together as a team, can't we? And we can celebrate each other's differences and different skills and say, through the power of command, we want to see resurrection in our community, whatever that looks like, with health or social problems, economical problems, whether it looks like relationship difficulties. If we can't do it, most likely someone else in your congregation can, but we can stand together, can't we? So the final C, the power of connection. So what were the results of this incredible story? And how do we sum it up? Well, for me, the kind of heart-stopping moment and the warming moment in all of that was that Jesus gave him back to his mother. This is what it says. The dead man sat up, he began to talk, and then just one sentence, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. That's the gospel. And it's a stunning story. It's a story that should live in us every day. It's the reconciliation of one person who was dead through Jesus coming to life, and then Jesus having that moment to actually say, I'm handing you back and I'm handing you your life. It's what the Father does with us. Here's Amy. I present Amy to you, Father, as a result that now she's clean because of what Jesus did for us. But it's actually what's called of us as well, that we have the awesome privilege to be able to invite people to meet Jesus, to be able to give an introduction and say, this is my Jesus, this is who he is, this is what he's done for me, let me tell you my story, and then let me tell you his story, and then have the opportunity to say, Father, this is this name, Father, this is this person I've been praying for, this is my work colleague, this is this kid that's been struggling, this is this family that have been in difficult, and we see this connection point happen again, where of course, God knows everyone, he knows all of his people, but we as his co-workers and as his labourers and as his stewards have this opportunity to do this introduction and say, meet this person, Jesus. That's the power of connection. The real gospel story when Jesus gives them back to his mother. And what does that teach all of us? Well, it just quite simply teaches us that as we come out of post-Easter, as we finish all of our eggs, as the daffodils have died down, as we start to move into summer and wrongfully sometimes forget the cross of Jesus Christ, all it shows us is that actually God wants us to be so invested in his story and so invested in who he is, but also equally so invested in the fact that that same power that he had is the same power that we can have. So to close, Psalm 146, verse 6 says, it talks about God and it talks about him frustrating the way of the wicked. And I think that's a really powerful psalm to think about. That actually, if we're called to be like Jesus, we're actually called to frustrate the way of the wicked. The enemy has plans consistently to invade our lives and invade our communities and push back. But we, as God's people, have plans to push forward and actually say, access denied. And actually say, I'm here to frustrate the ways of the wicked. Isaiah 61, a familiar passage, says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance for our Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Church, that's our call. Every single opposite spirit, all the same power as what Jesus had to rise himself, he then gives us to say, let's do that in his world. Let's do that in his community. Let's do that through spring water. Let's be people that bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And so in closing, I wonder which one of these 5 points maybe strikes you the most. And we just would like to give a little bit of an opportunity for reflection. So just going to ask for some quiet music to be put on. And think about where we've journeyed today. Is it the power of collision for you? Is that the thing that maybe you're most challenged by today? Where does it teach you that you need to stand? Is there maybe areas that you've avoided previously, but actually God is saying today, what does he want you to collide with? What does he want you to push back with? Is it the power of compassion? Is there sometimes a lack of grace with certain people at this moment? Is there sometimes a lack of grace with how we're feeling about God's world? And who is God calling us to see? Is it the power of contact? Are we maybe scared or concerned about what it would look like to get our hands dirty? And do we need to spend some time with Jesus right now, walking that one through? Is it the power of commands? Do we think that God couldn't possibly use what I have to say? Do we think that God couldn't possibly use the words of my mouth to change situations? But actually, would God lovingly want to say to you today that actually your words are valuable, and the power of death and life is within your tongue, and God wants you to use what you say and how you say things wisely? And finally, is it the power of connection? Do you see yourself isolated? Do you see yourself not always wanting to walk in relationship well? And does God just lovingly want to challenge you today? That just as he's called you into connection with him, he calls you to connect with those that don't know him and do. So, Father, as we listen to this music right now, we pray that we would take a moment to say, we pray that we would take a moment to pause. And we pray that after the wonder of the resurrection story, we too would continue to live as your resurrected people. That we would live as your resurrected people for ourselves, but we would live as your resurrected people for your world, Lord. And as we take a moment to pause, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come and say, come and do, come and show, in the way that you want to right now, Father. When I was praying earlier on at the start of worship, I felt that God actually wanted us to do an intentional physical action. And you know the first point about the power of collision? I actually felt what I'd like us to do if people feel comfortable and able and willing is to have on one side those that are ill, those that are struggling with something at the moment. You don't have to say what that is. It could be something physical, it could be something emotional. Those that are battling through coughs and colds or whatever else, relationship struggles. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand on this side of the church. And then for those of us, just for this season, because we all go through seasons of wellness lately and then also not well, for those of us that do in this moment of time find ourselves well, stand opposite them. Just like how the story kind of shows us. And those of us that are well, they're just going to reach out if we feel comfortable enough to do so. And we're going to command and pray wellness in whatever way the Spirit chooses to do that. And why not model as God's people and put into practice what he said today? You know, it's good to hear his word, isn't it? It's good to go away and reflect on it as the week goes on. But wouldn't it be good to actually physically to say, from this moment onwards, we're going to be a church that collides with bad health. We're going to be a church that collides with mournful spirits. We're going to be a church that collides with sorrow and destruction and financial difficulties and pain and relationships breakdown. And we're going to push back when the enemy tries to push forward. And when he pushes forward one step, we're going to push back two. We're going to be a church that takes territory. We're going to be a church that consistently sees ourselves way more healthier, way more brighter, way more fuller in the spirit, way more full of vitality. So can we do that? Would that be an okay thing to do today? So we'll do it really quickly because we'll all want a cup of tea and coffee by the end of this. So we're just modelling and symbolically doing this. We're all, of course, pushing back. Those of you that are ill, have a need at the moment, stay on this side and stand. Those of us that find ourselves well, let's face each other. We'll look like a kind of like face-off. Okay. So, who's on what side? You're staying here. Absolutely fine. You're fine. There we go. So those of us that can and those that are able, we're going to reach out and you guys are going to receive. You're going to receive for yourself, you're going to receive for your community, you're going to receive for God's world, you're going to receive for other people that you're in the gap for right now. Maybe you're stood over there because actually you stood there for a spouse or you stood for a child or you stood for a family. And so let's reach out our hands today and let's pray. Father, right now, we want to be your church. We want to be your people that operate with that same power that you have, Lord. We want to be a people that deliberately collide with that which looks like death, and that which looks like sorrow, and that which looks like pain, and believe your faith that you can make a difference. We thank you for the testimonies that we've heard today, Lord, that when we just have eyes of faith, when we just have a heart to believe, you can change the atmosphere, Lord. You can change circumstances that look like there's no hope, that looks like it's impossible, and you can bring your life. So we deliberately collide, and right now, for these guys, if they're suffering ill health, we command by your name, Jesus, wellness, and we agree together, Lord, that every single symptom, which is not a few, would be healed right now. We stand for people that are over this side of the church that are struggling with relationships. We stand for people that are struggling with finances. We stand for people that are there on behalf of others, Lord Jesus. We stand for those that feel hopeless and those that feel like they can't go on, Lord. And we say, in Jesus' name, receive wellness, receive grace, receive strength, receive salvation, receive hope, and receive connection. And as God's people all together, we believe in faith, Lord, that your journey is as your church to collide, to have compassion, to have contact, to deliberately speak a command, and to be a people of connection. That's where we're going, Father. So would you teach us where we feel scared, Lord, where we feel vulnerable, where we feel like, oh goodness, I don't know if God could use us. Would you raise our faith right now, Lord, that the Bible is full of a myriad of men and women that are the most unlikely, the most undeserved, the most struggling people of society, yet you use them. So if you use them, Lord, we say, so use us. And Father, as your church, we say right now, we say, use us. We say we are prepared, Lord, after the joy of Easter, to say that we want to live as your resurrected people, to say that we want to live as a people of life, to say that we want to live as a people that push back the enemy's plans. And when the enemy looks to advance in our community, we say no, and we push back with your love, and we push back with your strength, and we push back with your power, and we push back, Lord God, with your hope, and we push back with your salvation message, Lord, and we will be your people that walk that walk, Lord, uncompromised, with eyes of faith and with courage. And we believe that there will be testimonies as a result of this intentional physical act. And we agree together, and we all say in Jesus' name,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Amy. We're not going to have a final song, because I don't think I can really add much to that, but just to thank Amy. And I think that's left us with a lovely, well, to me, a lovely image. It's the opposition, isn't it? The opposites. I like that.
Yeah.
I felt just as we were praying there, it's just almost like the powers of the powers that aren't of God were in the dock.
Yeah, that's
cool.
That's great.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So thank you. And so we'll have a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, and the offering bags are here. So as we just move around and get up, and we can just pass them.
Yeah.
We'll just thank God for our finances. Father, we thank you that you bless us individually with funds. And Lord, I just pray that you prompt on our, put on our hearts how we should contribute to your work here at the Springwater. Father, we thank you that you provide us with those the finances that we need to fulfil all that you want us to as a church. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for coming. Do enjoy a cup of tea or coffee.
Thank you.